Welcome to the More We Know podcast with your host and social media influencer, Mir. Gen Zs and millennials need information now. That is why Mir is bringing in experts from all around the world. Because the more we know, the more we learn, and the more we earn. Here is your host.
More We Know podcast. Today we have an exceptional guest who doesn't even really need an introduction, Mayor Francis Suarez. Thanks for being on today.
It's an honor to be here with you, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So to get really right into it, it's just, you know, you're the mayor of Miami. You have such a high profile job. But before getting into that, can you walk us through, because this is for the Gen Zs and millennials, maybe your college life. I know that you graduated top 10% of your class at FIU and you got a bachelor's in finance. But can you talk about that journey and going to college?
Yeah, I mean, I like many in Miami, decided that we wanted to, you know, I wanted to get a college degree. And even potentially a postgraduate degree. I ended up going to law school at the University of Florida, and I went to FIU for studying finance. So, you know, I was kind of a late bloomer. I didn't really take school too seriously in high school. I liked to play basketball and I liked to have fun. And I didn't really start getting serious about school prior until I was a sophomore in college. And then I realized, hey, wait a second, my grades are going to reflect, you know, what law school I go to, and that's going to reflect what job I get. And so I started putting it into hyperdrive and was able to, you know, salvage an otherwise pretty average collegiate career. And that was a lesson for me, because it taught me that there are no shortcuts in life. You got to work hard. You know, we live in a competitive world and competitive environment. And, you know, hard work is the minimum common denominator. Everybody works hard. And then you have to differentiate yourself in a variety of other different ways. But working hard is what gives you opportunity to be successful.
Right. And with that, so, you know, you had that switch, you realized, okay, I need to start working hard. You know, this is the switch. What made you pick finance, where you're like, you know what, let me do finance?
You know, I've always been math oriented. I love math. And I feel like sometimes even though, you know, obviously we learn math throughout high school and in college, we lose touch with the simplicity, the beauty of it, and sort of the practical applicability of it. And so oftentimes, you know, we're talking about statistics or a variety of other things, people are like, you know, they just don't know what you're talking about. And I've learned that, and this sort of comes from my dad, who's a you know, engineering background, a mechanical engineer, you know, and his family, my grandfather was a dean of the engineering college, sort of a mathematical background, where you understand how important it is to know math and how applicable it is to everyday things.
And, you know, you got the degree in finance, and right after college, I know you also went and pursued a law degree. Did you work for a little bit in the finance field or just straight to master's?
I did. I worked for Morgan Stanley for a little bit and then went to law school. So, you know, it was an interesting opportunity to learn how to work in the financial world, and then got a chance to go into law school, you know, pretty quickly and graduated in 3 years.
Okay. And that's awesome. And a lot of times, us Gen Zs, we graduate college, we suffer with this post-college depression. We get into that first job and we're like, shoot, like, what are we really doing with our lives? Like, what is this? We were just sheltered for 4 years. Did you suffer with any of that? Or were you at Morgan Stanley like, I'm ready, I got this?
No. I think everybody goes through that. I think we all go through that whole, like, you know, what do I really, really want to do? You know what I mean? And I think, you know, I often counsel people to try to find the answer to that question earlier rather than later in life. And the second thing I usually counsel people is, you know, and something that now is very natural to me as an adult is, do your due diligence. You know what I mean? If you think you want to do something, do your due diligence on that profession. You know, do an internship with a law firm if you want to be a lawyer. Do an internship with a political person if you want to be in politics. Really understand what it's like, because what you usually are getting is the TV dramatized version of it. You know what I mean? Like every lawyer is not like, you know, in court every day. You know what I mean? In a trial every day. You know what I mean? Every police officer is not, thank God, firing their weapon every day. You're not chasing people down every single day. So, you know, you really need to understand what a profession is like, and if it really actually pushes your buttons. And I've always felt that if you do what you want to do, as opposed to what you feel like you have to do, you'll be more successful.
That's great advice. Just being able, you know, do what you want to do instead of just being what society thinks is the status quo. So at Morgan, when did the transition happen for you? Where like, hey, I want to go pursue my law degree.
You know, I think, and this is an interesting lesson too, is there's this thought of Cuban descent, And, you know, for us, it was like, oh, you had to get a certain level of education. You had to be a professional, you know, it's sort of like you had to do this. And interestingly for me, I didn't decide I wanted to be a lawyer until sort of later on in life again. And then, you know, it was interesting because my dad litigates, my sister litigates, and I decided I wanted to be a transactional lawyer. I didn't want to litigate. I didn't want to fight with people. I didn't want to be, you're wrong, I'm right. I wanted to bring people together and make things happen, which frankly has helped me a lot in my political career, where I've been able to, negotiate things and bring people together and get things done. And understanding that the sum of the independent parts is greater oftentimes, than the independent parts separately. So for me, being a transactional lawyer, I think has helped me a lot in being effective as a leader.
And would you say also, of course, the transactional lawyer that impacts too, did the degree in finance maybe help you a little bit? You're doing a lot of different things in Miami now. Absolutely.
No, you have to understand finance. I mean, you have to understand, you know, how, first of all, in real estate, you know, that's 45% of our revenue in the city, real estate value. So understanding real estate, the way it works is important. But finance, I mean, we're borrowing money. We have to capitalize different projects. We're often analyzing projects and determining whether it's a good deal for doing a deal with a private sector person. So understanding finance is crucial.
Okay. And what do you say to these college kids, this generation now? They're seeing these influencers on Instagram that are saying, college, man, it's not worth it, the debt. What do you say to that?
You know, I think everybody has a different path to success. You know what I mean? And some people are more traditional than others. I think sometimes when you take a less traditional path, it's glorified, but it you can be successful. Like there's success stories of people that have done all kinds of different things. I just think that the more traditional path, the greater your probability of success is. And so I think there's a correlation there. And so I think that's what you have to be looking at, which is, yeah, could you do it without all this formal education? Of course you can. You know what I mean? I read a quote recently of Elon Musk that he said, you know, everything, all the knowledge that you need to know is available for free online. It is. There's no doubt about it. But I think the other thing with school that we often forget is that it's a venue for networking, right? It's not just about learning those things, which is important to learn them, whether you learn them for free or whether you pay for the education. You also make friends that help network and help you become who you are meant to be. And so I think, you know, even people from high school, you know, what high school you go to, what high school your parents choose for you could predetermine a lot of the opportunities that you have later on in life. So I think, you know, that's another benefit to taking the scholastic route.
And would you say that network that you built, that scholastic route, did it help propel you to where you're at today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the friends that I have, I'm very blessed. I have great friends. And they've given me an opportunity through helping me in my campaigns, for example, for free, to be able to compete and have an opportunity to lead and have an opportunity to run a corporation, a government like this. And so, yeah, without a doubt, or for me, you know, people that I can rely on, that I can sort of peel away from this job and know me for who I am, and will always treat me that way. They've also been a support in terms of when I've needed manpower for campaigns and things of that nature. So I absolutely stand on the shoulders of so many people, my wife, my friends, my family, and others that have come before me. There's no doubt that they're a big part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes total sense having that support system, the network that you've built there. What made you, you know, other than, you know, there's so many obvious answers of why someone would want to become mayor, you're doing amazing things, but what made you really want to become mayor?
I was a councilman. I was a commissioner for 8 years. And I got in the city when things were really, really bad. And we helped turn it around. And so I love that challenge. I love helping people. We have a board in my office where we put up all the letters of the people that we've helped that have written us letters. I feed off that, you know, that it's a different kind of compensation, if you will. And it's a compensation that's not monetary. And it's exciting for me. So, I mean, those are the reasons why I decided I wanted to be part of public service, and it's been great. It's been a great challenge. It's been a lot of fun. You know, not every day is a good day, like anything else in life. But it's something that I feel gives my life meaning.
Yeah. And the key is, you know, you're smiling every day because you're helping so many lives in that process.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. That's a huge part of it.
So one of the things with leadership that I think is a struggle is the unknown, the challenge of the unknown, right? As a leader, that's one's greatest fear. I know you've been asked this on a plethora of interviews, but COVID-19 hit. Everything was scary. People were losing jobs, restaurants closing. It was just so much ambiguity. We didn't know what was going on. What was the greatest challenge for you specifically as a leader of a great city like Miami in COVID-19 and how?
Well, if you look over your shoulder, you have a picture of Michael Jordan, sort of.
Sir.
Yeah. And, you know, he always used to say he loved to take the last shot. And that doesn't necessarily mean the last shot always went in. But you have leaders often have a different DNA, and that DNA pushes them towards risk, pushes them towards difficulty, pushes them towards challenges. And people who don't want to lead don't necessarily want to take the last shot, right? And so I think you know, in COVID, there was no playbook. There was no right answer. You have to, and by the way, there still isn't. You know, right now we're making sure that everyone can be vaccinated to the extent that they want to be in our community. And, you know, and hopefully at some point in the next few months, we'll, you know, COVID will be behind us, God willing. But, you know, there is no playbook. I just had to follow my instincts. You know, I happen to be religious. So, you know, follow what I felt was morally right. And that's it, you know, and those are the things that guided me, throughout this process. You know, I think the city has done a good job of balancing protecting lives with obviously making sure that that our people can provide a livelihood for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What you've been able to do, it's been a terrific job. And actually, I'm in Chicago. So many of us Chicagoans are leaving to you guys. You're taking us.
It's over, man. This is not a virtual background.
that's real life.
That's real life.
Can't be better. Well, I'm looking here at snow, so I'm jealous.
There you go.
So, you know, one thing my generation specifically we suffer with is the critiques. We deal with so much, you know, people, naysayers, you know, they call them haters and that negativity. I know as a leader on the biggest stage, you know, there had to be some critiques. How did you manage those during this time where someone saying, Mayor, this, that?
I love that question because, you know, what's interesting is it's like public speaking. And people often say, oh, how can you be a good public speaker? Why are you a good public speaker? How do you become a good public speaker? And look, there's a bunch of techniques. You can take a bunch of classes. But at the end of the day, the most, probably to me, in my humble opinion, the most, the best way to become a public speaker is to do it a lot. You know, in other words, the more you do it in more situations, the easier it becomes because it just becomes natural. Just like we're having a conversation right now. The same for criticism. It actually, the more you get it, the more you become accustomed to it, the more you realize that it's, you have to put it in a particular box, right? You know, you can't be completely shut off to it because that makes you kind of like sociopathic, right? You want to have feelings. You obviously want to, you know, you can't be one of these people that just doesn't sense anything what's going on around you. So you just have to put it in a proper box, right? And you know, there are different kinds of criticisms. There's criticism that's sincere, right? Like when somebody sincerely thinks you didn't do the right thing or sincerely. And then there's criticism from people who have ulterior motives, right? Either they don't like your philosophy. They don't like who you are as a person. They don't like what you represent. They don't think you're a good person for whatever reason. They've convinced themselves that you're not a good person. And, you know, and those people you have to put in a special box because if you don't do that, it will definitely crush you. And you've got to understand that. You got to understand oftentimes that it's not personal in the sense that it feels personal and it is personal. When someone's saying something about you that's very negative, and I've been called all the things in the book that you can imagine. Thankfully, it's not by a lot of people. It's sort of a small group of people, generally speaking. But, you know, you listen, if you let other people define you, the more and more you become a leader, you won't be able to get out of bed. You literally will not be able to get out of bed because you will not have enough belief in yourself and in your mission and what you're trying to do to overcome the negativity. So, you know, it is sad that there is so much negativity. And, you know, my job in part is to inspire people to look away from it, right? And to believe in what's possible as opposed to what people will tell you is not possible.
Yeah, I think that's so important that you said that because so many people are listening to this. Everyone gets it. No one's immune to that hate or negativity. So thank you so much. That inspires all of us.
In politics, it's worse than it's ever been.
You can't beat it. So how do you differentiate between someone that might be just looking in your best interest versus a typical hate negativity?
You know, I think a lot of times it has to do with volume. So like for me, you know, sometimes somebody will say something horrible, but it's the first time they've said it and I'll engage them and I'll say, hey, look, you know, this is my perspective. Let me explain to you why I did this. This is why I did it. And then they'll either say, well, look, I still don't agree with it, but I appreciate the fact that you reached out to me and that's, you know, I appreciate it. Or they'll say, I didn't think about it that way. And, you know, now that I see it from your perspective, I get why you were the way that you were, as opposed to somebody that, that will, you cure cancer and they'll say, well, why did it take you so long? You know what I mean? And there's people that are like that, you know, no matter what you do, they always see the negative part of it. And what's ironic, and this is almost funny because I can almost correlate it. The more, when I do something really, really good, it's like I go up to a bee's nest of my haters and I shake the bee's nest. And I've gotten to a point where like, I almost feel depressed if they're not hating on me, because I'm like, man, I must've not done anything really good today. I must've not done anything to get, my haters' attention. I'm obviously not as important, because they're always trying to hurt me when I become more and more important. If I'm not important, if I'm not doing anything, they're not talking about me. So, it's still tough. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a person that's emotional. I have feelings. I'm a human being. People often don't realize that, we're all human beings, no matter what, position we have. And we have families. I have children. I always worry about, what are they going to be able, what are they going to read about me one day? You know what I mean? Those are very real fears and anxieties, because I love them and I want them to, and I'm blessed because I had to deal with it because my father was mayor when I was growing up. So I kind of have a good sense for that.
Mayor, honestly, thank you so much for being able to share that story with us, because that will help so many people. Because I posted on Instagram talking about what do people want to get out of this? That was one of the biggest questions I got. How do you deal with that? Because you're on the biggest stage. So for you to tell us that inspires so many of us. So we really appreciate that.
Listen, it's not easy. I'll finish by saying it's not easy. It's not something that, some people, I don't know that I'll ever fully, I always think I'm 80% of the way there to being fully able to handle it well, but I'm not so sure you'll ever. And I'm, by the way, I'm not so sure that you should ever be 100% of the way there, because again, getting 100% of the way of tuning out the hateration, you may lose some things. You may miss some things that are important, that are valuable. And listen, you always have to check yourself too. You know what I mean? Like, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I make mistakes often. And, you have to have a good sense of understanding of yourself as well, and be conscientious enough to admit like, hey, I blew it. I just shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? I made a mistake. It happens. You move on.
And a lot of times that hate and negativity is coming from people that really aren't even doing much, right? They'll say something, but they're not doing anything themselves.
My biggest, one of the guys that, hates on me the most is a guy doesn't live in my city, doesn't have a business in my city. Okay. And I don't, and by the way, I've always been nice to the guy. I've always been very, very accessible and open, and he just doesn't like what I represent, what I stand for, I guess, and he has, I guess every right to do it. I feel like he crosses the line oftentimes and does things that are way, way out of bounds. But, again, do I want to engage and elevate that person, or do I want to ignore that person, move on, do what I know is right, and do what I know, to the best of my ability, and just sort of move on?
Yeah. And a lot of times it's a question of if it comes from jealousy too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's all kinds of human motivations for things, right? And insecurity, jealousies, those are all. Admit in our public policy. And it's sad, because at the end of the day, there really should only be one focus and one goal, which is to help people and to cooperate and collaborate. The partisanship also creates that sort of divide. And I also think that if we were a little bit less focused on that, a little more focused on solving problems, then I think, we wouldn't see a lot of these issues.
Amen to that, Mayor. And I wish we could have more leaders like you, and whether it is in politics or in, CEOs, I wish we could have more of that, because that's amazing.
I appreciate it.
So closing out here, what would you say, kids are just graduating college now. What's your best advice in like a few seconds of to these college kids?
Yeah, my best advice is try to find what you want to do with your life. To the extent that you can do it and even make sacrifices, like doing internships that are not paid, sacrifice a little bit on the front end so you can get a lot on the back end. Really know what you want to do. Not just what you think you want to do, or what's been idealized to you, or what your parents do. I think that's the best piece of advice, because I think that's the recipe for long-term happiness. That, and obviously having my opinion, having a religious sort of connection and a relationship.
That's beautiful. And that's a virtual commencement right there, but long-term happiness is the goal there.
There you go, brother.
Thank you, brother. And the last thing here is the tech scene in Miami now. You know, a lot of us are 22, 23 years old. We want to be out there in the tech scene. I'm seeing what you got going on. Just highlight to us right there about the tech scene. You know, is there anything special that we should know?
Yeah, this is not a moment. This is a movement. You know what I mean? We want to make this something more sustained than just, hey, we're the flavor of the month. You know, obviously the month of December, I got a tremendous amount of traction just for asking a very simple question. Is how can I help? How can I help change the narrative on Miami? How can I help bring Silicon Valley companies, founders, VCs to Miami? And I think it was refreshing because it seemed like nobody's asking that question. No, nobody in politics is just saying like, hey, how can I help you? And I think, like, to your other point, people are constantly being critical. They're constantly being negative and nasty. And so few people are just saying, hey man, how can I help you? And even, I'll be honest with you, even in this effort that I've engaged in, I wish more people would be asking me, hey, how can I help you? You know what I mean? How can I make it easier for you? And I'm not getting as much of that as I would like, because it'd be one thing if I'm asking and I'm one person, and it'd be great if everybody else was asking and were helping me, because I need the help, frankly.
And, you know, a quote for you, a Drake quote, is everyone has their hands out, but it's not to reach you. So that's the sad part. You know, you wish people would be able to on the back end too.
I was in one of his videos, God's Plan.
Really? Yeah. No way. You were in God's Plan?
Yeah.
We got to go back and watch that. Wow. I'm going to put that in the podcast. Yeah, that is dope. Wow, that's awesome.
But it was like 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Hey, still. Yeah. Still had it. That's amazing.
I was giving them dap, and then that was it. They cut to the next scene.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in the podcast. We're going to have the video. I appreciate that. Well, that's awesome. We want to come check out that tech scene, because you guys are becoming like a Silicon Valley. So that's phenomenal. We appreciate that. And I got to just tell the people, I saw a video of you one time giving some, you know, some citizen like your cell phone number or something, where it's just, that just goes to show the type of character you have. That's why we're rooting for you all the way. And you're motivating me and inspiring me and so many Gen Zs.
Thank you. And I wish you guys the best of luck, and look me up and find me. And listen, we need interns. So if you want to know,
we'll do. And where can they follow you on social media?
So it's at Francis Suarez is my Twitter handle. I think I have at Miami Mayor is my Twitter handle as well. And then I also have Instagram. I think it's at Miami Mayor.
There you go. Okay. That's awesome. That is Mayor Francis Suarez. Thank you so much for being on. It's an honor. And thanks for providing us so many gems today.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Take care. That was awesome. Have a great one. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.